that people file complaints with independent police review when they do have a problem with officer misconduct, because if we don't use the system that we have in place, even though it has a lot of problems, it'll be hard for us to establish with the city that these problems exist and that police misconduct continues, and we know it does.
The form to register a complaint or to give an officer kudos for a job well done, it's both the same form. It's available online at portlandonline.gov. You can go into the auditor's section, it's there. If you go into the Portland Police Bureau section, it's there. They're also available at City Hall and distributed in various places around town. It's a fairly simple form for people to fill out. It's fairly straightforward, but at least, like Sean is saying, it provides some documentation that there's patterns of behavior going on, which would be a good supervisory tool. At least you would think that the supervisory staff, the sergeants especially, would want to be able to say, this particular officer is needing this type of retraining, is suitable for this type of role, et cetera, based on this evidence. And at this point, that just is not being utilized.
Well, not to confuse people more, but there may be another way where that happens. There's a thing that's called the employee information system, where those kind of things cumulatively do add up, and eventually you could get called into your supervisor's office, and that exists now before the performance evaluations. But the fact that they're separating them, that, you know, that EIS review might happen over on one side of the bureau, and then when they get their annual evaluation, that's not part of it. That doesn't make any sense.
So, right? And would the EIS include calls to the watch commander, say, for instance, and not these
IPR complaints
that we're talking about?
I hope so. I don't know the level of detail on that.
Right, and I'm pretty sure that the bureau directives state when they do get a call, they should refer people to IPR to make a complaint. And unfortunately, I don't think that's happening in every case. The National Lawyers Guild has law student volunteers that assist people who are wanting to make IPR complaints, and that information is available on our website. If you search Portland National Lawyers Guild or Portland NLG, you can find that information. Because it is a difficult and confusing process, and we are trying to make it better, and that's why we provide this service.
I just wanted one last time, encourage people to come out 2:00 a Wednesday. And if they can't, they should call City Hall. There's the central number for the city is 823-4000. They can find out the phone numbers for all the 5 commissioners, including the mayor, and let them know we want to change the IPR. We want to make it better. And we want to do it after the fairness hearing is over in February. So please delay the vote is the message for the week.
So I guess the message that we're trying to tease out here today is that Dan and Sean are asking the public to encourage the city council to delay changes in the civilian oversight of the police bureau until after the fairness hearing. I've been speaking with Dan Handelman of Portland Cop Watch, which is a project of Peace and Justice Works, and Shauna Curfee with the National Lawyers Guild, who's also the legal counsel for the AMA Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. For KBOO News, I'm Jimmy Tardy.
Hey, KBOO supporters, we just sent you a card, so watch your mailbox. It's an opportunity to give a little more assistance at this time of year to your listener-sponsored, volunteer-powered community radio station. Yep, tax time. That means that your donation makes a difference, and it'll really make a difference for KBOO because you can help us qualify for Oregon Cultural Trust matching funds. You can get more information about this on our website at kboo.fm/year-end-gift-2013.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, Oregon Council 75, representing over 25,000 Oregon public and private sector employees, families, and communities. Protecting worker rights, and fighting to improve the wages and working conditions of members since 1942. More information at www.OregonAFSCME.com.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone.
to you waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Good evening. The time is 6:06 p.m. You're listening to Labor Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm Nick Bob, and I'm here with Jamie.
Hi, Jamie Sorensen.
And we've got a very special guest here tonight, Kathleen, and she has worked for a company that has received Jobs with Justice's Scrooge of the Year Award.
And that company is Coin News Channel 6. And Kathleen, tell us a little bit about how they won this award and what the award means.
Hi. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak to everybody. Coin TV was bought by an outside company from the East Coast called Lynn Media in October of 2012. And they've come in and laid off 7 workers with a combined 125 years of commitment to Coin TV.
That's awful.
It is awful. We are in the process of trying to negotiate a contract with them for the remaining employees. And we're having a difficult time. That contract expired in July, and we're having a tough time even getting the company to come to town to negotiate. They've been giving us about 2 days a month each time that they come.
So slow going in bargaining.
Very slow. There's a lot of union busting proposals that they put on the table, and we're really having a tough time trying to get them to come to reason.
So I understand there were 4 other folks that were nominated for this Jobs with Justice Award. So really kind of calling out that really bad employer. Can you tell me, you know, how much worse your employer, your former employer, was over these other 4?
Well, I can tell you from my personal experience that they do register really high in my book. I was one of the people that lost our jobs. And just trying to get them to treat their employees decently with respect and give them an opportunity to work there is a problem. They're looking to take jurisdiction from us in a lot of our job functions, which would mean a lot of my former coworkers would suffer the same fate. And we're trying to help them to create some stability and job security there.
So this company is sourced in Indiana, and I understand that they laid off the master control, and that was something that you had done before. So where is this function for our local news channel actually happening now?
Well, it's Indianapolis, Indiana. There is a facility there that is called a hub, and they operate 7 or 8 stations. Our parent company, Lynn Media, is actually out of Rhode Island.
Okay, so not so local news.
That's right.
That's awful. I've got a note here that says that they actually, they want to stop paying overtime for work over 8 hours in a day. Is that right?
What?
Yeah, that's right. In fact, we talked to the corporate attorney in negotiations about what sort of scenario that would create. What if we have a news photographer that went out on breaking news to cover a story that went on for some time? Let's say the photographer was out there for 20 hours that day, and they had already had 20 hours that they put in that week. And we were told by the corporate attorney that, in fact, they would send that photographer home for the rest of the week once they reached their 40 hours, and they would get no additional pay for having worked 20 hours straight if they're able to pull off that no overtime over 8 hours.
Wow.
That just doesn't even seem legal to me. I'm surprised that they'd even be suggesting that. But, I mean, even if it were, and I don't think it is, working 2 20-hour shifts is a great deal more difficult than working 5 8-hour shifts. I mean, that just doesn't even seem a realistic thing to put to an employee.
No.
They put this forward. They feel that was a reasonable proposal.
Yes.
That's completely unreasonable.
Regardless of how many hours over the 8, they do not want to pay overtime.
Ouch. I have a note here that says they started intimidating workers to not talk to their union representatives at work or not talk about the union at work. Did you experience any of that?
Yes, I was the shop steward there, and in fact, I was told as the shop steward that I was not to talk union at work, and was told a couple of times from my manager that I shouldn't be speaking to any union issues with the employees there.
And so we all know that's, of course, against the National Labor Relations Act that says, union or not, you can talk wages, terms, working conditions at work at any time, because that is a concerted, protected activity with your coworkers.
Right.
So they've already violated federal law here.
They have. And we took that up with the NLRB, and I haven't heard the final results on that. But that's a big issue when you're trying to uphold the contract and do your job as a steward. And you have issues that come up with the employees there, created by the management a great deal of the time, and we're not able to follow up. If we follow what they say are their rules, we would not be able to investigate any issues where the contract has been broken. It just creates a huge storm of issues for our membership there.
Absolutely.
Wow, I'm starting to see why these people got the Scrooge of the Year award.
Yeah. Well, this sounds extra Scroogey to me. Sounds like they want photographers to sit by their phone, basically being on call without receiving any pay for that.
Yes. Yes, they'd like them to be on call in case there's any breaking news. They expect them to sit at home if they're the designated rotating on-call person, and they do not want to provide any extra compensation for that.
So you're basically working when you're not working, and you can't do anything else in your personal life in that meantime.
That's right.
Ouch.
That is completely awful.
Yeah, it doesn't do much for your family life or your personal life.
Sure. No, it doesn't. I mean, like, I've heard people say that they don't even feel unions are necessary anymore. But, I mean, this is just, in my mind, this is more proof why unions are more necessary than ever before. I mean, you have stuff like this. Coin is a news station. They have to have money. They'd rather spend it on lawyers and challenging you and trying to fight you guys that way than to actually pay a decent benefits package with an actual good working condition.
Yes, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up. They have a great deal of money, and their corporate owners, Lynn Media, had record profits in 2012, followed by more record profits for the first two quarters of this year. So they've done quite well.
So this isn't even a budget issue. This is just them strictly trying to reduce your rights and kind of make slave labor out of you guys.
That's right. They want a cookie cutter contract. And one of the things that they keep on referring to is they want this proposal or that proposal because some of their other stations have it. So they're not dealing with us, Coin TV. They want to have their way all the way with all the stations. And, they're not really interested in bargaining a fair contract with or for Coin TV.
Well, it also sounds like they're not even really bargaining in good faith. From what I'm reading here, it looks like they won't show you their wage and benefit offer.
That's correct.
So how can you really bargain when you're not even talking the economics of the situation?
Yes, they want to save that until the end. And judging from their other proposals that we've talked about, I would expect that that's going to be pretty stingy. I don't believe that they're wanting to share the wealth, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't sound like it. That's not good faith bargaining, not even giving you an offer. I mean, wages, that's a mandatory subject when it comes to bargaining.
Absolutely.
They have to discuss it.
So, I mean, it sounds like you guys aren't taking this lying down. You've had a rally that sounds like it was really successful. Can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of the morale of your coworkers right now?
Yes, we've had a few different rallies and some incredible support from Jobs with Justice. And we really appreciate them helping us out. We've also had support from CWA, which we are affiliated with.
Communication Workers of America?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a rally, in fact, with a Christmas lobby party that they had that was given by the building owners. And a lot of our employees have been intimidated. There's a lot of ruling through fear and intimidation there, at COIN. So it's a struggle for them. You know, they want to see results, and they're frustrated, and they want a new contract. You know, this expired in July, and they're nervous that they're not going to get a fair contract and that they're not going to have job stability for themselves and an opportunity to earn an honest wage, and that's all they want. But they're afraid, a number of them, to show a lot of their support. We've had the HR manager come out to the sidewalk and look around to see who all was there at the rallies, and that's a big concern for them.
Yeah, definitely. Has that feeling of being spied on a little bit.
That's right.
So one of the things, and I think the LGBT community does this better than anyone, if there's somebody that does something outrageous or offensive or something that's just not right, they have an amazing way of getting out the word, hey, don't shop here. Don't buy this product. Don't give them a single penny of your money. And I think it is so powerful. It really seems to get their attention right away. So it sounds like COIN got bought by Lynn Media. Do they own more than just Channel 6 News then? I mean, what else should I not be watching?
Well, they own a lot of other television stations around the country. But since you brought that up, that's a good point for advertisers. And that's something that we, our bargaining unit, has discussed, is going to the advertisers and asking them not to support COIN TV. Because I think that this company is so greedy, the only thing they're going to pay attention to is if it hurts them in their pocketbook. So we've asked the advertisers not to support them, and we will be planning some actions in January to go to those advertisers and ask people not to shop there if they're supporting the greed of COIN TV.
And so for us to be able to keep up with the actions that you guys have planned, would the Jobs with Justice site be the best place to get that information if we want to participate and help you guys out?
Yes, Jobs with Justice has been great about keeping track of us and supporting us and posting rallies and events on the website. That'd be a great source for people.
Great. And that website is jwjpdx.org. Jobs with Justice is a member affiliate group where unions as well as just community constituency groups can join together to help support like-minded causes such as this. Well, I want to thank you very much, Kathleen, for coming into the studio today and talking with us and continuing to serve on your bargaining team, even though you're unfortunately no longer employed with COIN News. Hopefully they will find a place for you there and you'll be able to secure a good contract.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak with everyone and support our group and support all the others. And if people have time available, they can check the website in January with JWJ and see what our actions are and come out and join us. Meanwhile, we would like people, if they're looking to support a candidate this week, to come out and support the Portland teachers.
And they were the runner-up, right, for the Scrooge?
They were the runner-up, yes. Okay. And they deserve a great deal of support. And if the public has some time to get out and show their support for them, it'd be really important to do that.
Yeah, it looks like that rally is on the 18th of this month. That would be this Wednesday from 9 to 10 o'clock. This will be at the school admin building. Address is 501 North Dixon Street. I understand this is a late day for K through 8. So parents are invited to attend and please show their support. Basically, one of their main issues that I know they're fighting for is they have 180 students to one teacher in some high schools. So that does not lend for a very conducive learning environment.
Yeah, it's a great group of people. I mean, teachers, that's who we trust our kids with. So it's very important to get out and support them and let them know that we're all here for them.
Definitely.
So, and with, as far as the NLRB, I heard that sometimes they're slow moving, but I heard someone else talking today that, you know, the wheels of justice move slowly, but they do move. So I'm hoping that they'll come down with great support in your bargaining situation, and the best of luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Nick, you'd mentioned something earlier about the LGBT community. And I just wanted to touch on this really quickly about marriage equality that is will be on the ballot coming soon here in Oregon. And just kind of why is that a workers' rights issue? How does this impact workers? So I did a little bit of research here and looking at what that means for workers. And basically, you may think that DOMA and the repeal of portions of that law, which is the Defense of Marriage Act, kind mm-hmm. of did away with it. Section 3 being removed. Now everything should be good as long as you legalize marriage state by state. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, there are 1,138 benefits and rights protections provided for the basic marital status. The problem is it's still only defined as one man and one woman. Same-sex couples are completely out, mm-hmm. even if they marry within their state. So there are some federal laws and taxation purposes that actually don't apply to them. So this is creates mm-hmm. a pretty big inequality out there.
You know, and I think it even goes further than that. I was at the Collective Bargaining Institute this week, and one of the guys there was telling me about a case in Washington State. Well, same-sex marriage is legal in Washington now. Mm-hmm. And so there was a case where one of the railroads, and if he mentioned it, I can't remember which one, but they had a case where they would not provide the benefits to a same-sex spouse. And I guess it ended up getting settled before it went to court, though, but it still shows how in the workplace, not everyone's being treated equally.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, until our federal government recognizes this, it's still going to continue to be a problem. So, for example, if you look at estate taxes, same-sex couples who are legally married this creates an inequality in estate taxes because you can't will necessarily mm-hmm. those benefits on over. Same thing for retirement savings. You mm-hmm. can't give that over for gay and lesbian couples. They're being treated as strangers under the federal law and under pension law.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, the case that changed that was the Edith Windsor case. I believe she was out of New York, but she was forced to pay $363,000 in estate taxes.
Ouch.
Yes, after her same-sex spouse had passed. However, if she'd been married to an opposite-sex partner, then she would not have been required to pay that amount. And so it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court did rule in her favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, there are a lot of employers that are actually doing the right thing by domestic partnerships. And for example, as of August 2003, and I know it's a little dated stat, sorry, it's what I got, about 198 employers, almost 40% of the Fortune 500 companies, and 173 states and local governments nationwide provided health insurance for same-sex couples. Great thing, you think. Only problem is the federal tax law has not kept up with the corporate and government growth to take advantage of this inequality. So basically, it becomes a burden on the employee and shows up as a fringe benefit. So it's actually taxed even higher.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some pretty significant tax implications here until that law gets, kind of fixed nationally.
You know, and then I believe that DOMA just also, it now requires the federal government to recognize same-sex marriages and those benefits, but only in a state that also recognizes same-sex marital benefits.
Correct. It goes even further than that. If you look at the Family Medical Leave Act, so this law is in place to guarantee families time off for taking care of themselves, mm-hmm. care of a parent, a spouse, a child. But it, however, does not let you to have that same time off to care for your domestic partner. So that's something you either need to secure in your contracts or have a separate law like we have in Oregon, which is the Oregon Family Medical Leave Act. It goes a little bit further than the federal law.
Wow. And as far as securing that in your contract, you know, I mean, only 7% of the workforce are even covered in a collective bargaining agreement these days.
Correct. Sadly correct. So if not that, then, you know, if you choose to not be in a union or you don't have enough support of your coworkers to make that happen, definitely need to put some pressure on our legislators to get these laws corrected. Because for me, it's a civil rights issue. You shouldn't have people working in the same situation, getting mm-hmm. the same benefits potentially, but being penalized for it due to something that's outside of their control.
Mm-hmm, sure. And then, I mean, what if they have children together as well? I mean, then that's going to penalize the children as well if they're not entitled to benefits.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of that relationship.
There are child tax credit laws that, although similarly situated married couples may choose which partner to fulfill the role without a consequence, gay and lesbian couples can't do that. So if you have one of your partners, or your partner, excuse me, who is not working and taking care of the child, you don't get the same tax credit that a same-sex married, opposite-sex married couple would get.
Yeah, wow. And then, I mean, something else to think about as well. I mean, if the federal government only recognizes it in states that also recognize same-sex marriage, what about the military people? And so I've got an article that says that, you know, a military family living in a state with marriage equality will be granted federal benefits now that that portion of DOMA is repealed.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the military benefits we've all heard of, the housing allowance, sustenance, the health insurance. But a person in the military doesn't have a choice on where they're going to be sent to. And if they get sent to a state, any state that doesn't recognize same-sex marriage, then they're going to be precluded from those benefits.
That is a good point. Very good point. So we're not necessarily on this show coming out for KBOO about this situation. It's not yet on the ballot at this time. I understand there is no concerted opposition to this ballot measure, though there had been in years past. I believe the group is called Oregon Citizens Alliance, so they may or may not be interested in coming out in opposition again. They have put some ballot measures in the past on the ballot to make it expressly illegal in the state of Oregon for same-sex partnership to happen, for marriages to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that won't happen, but I know they are in the process of gathering signatures right now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I understand they've got quite a few signatures. I don't have those stats on me, but they've had a lot of corporate sponsors that have come out. I believe Nike, Adidas have come out, Intel has come out to support this marriage equality bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe the Oregon Citizens Alliance, that's the group that sponsored ballot measure 9 back in 1992.
Yes. Luckily, that one did not pass, but it was close.
Yeah, it looks like it was defeated 638,000 votes in favor of 828,000 votes against. So 1992, I mean, that's a while ago now, but it's not that long ago.
Right, but I think it definitely shows the tidal change. I mean, these ballot measures were only coming out to restrict people's rights before, and now there are ballot measures that are coming out to support people and kind of really embody that spirit of everybody should be treated the same. So I think we've come a long way, both nationally and in our state.
Absolutely.
I think it goes without saying what I support personally, but thank you very much for listening to KBOO Radio. I just want to remind you one more time about the Portland Teachers Rally. That will be at 9 a.m. on Wednesday the 18th. It's at 501 North Dixon Street. Support our teachers and students.
And I want to remind everyone one more time, check the jwjpdx.org website. And to get the Scrooge of the Year award, I mean, hearing what these people are doing is just awful. And I want to find out every way that I can help. And I can guarantee that I'm not going to be spending my money in any capacity that will go to Lynn Media.
Agreed. I used to watch Coin News all the time, but until this is settled, I don't think so.
And alternatively, I mean, if they'll come around and they're willing to bargain in good faith, and it looks like they're not doing that, then I might change my opinion on that. But for now, absolutely, I cannot support Lynn Media or Coin News Channel 6.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for listening to KBOO Labor Radio.
Good night, everyone.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? But I know change gon' come. Oh, yes, it will.
Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Karen James. Tonight we'll hear a program from KPFA in Berkeley called Making Contact. This episode of Making Contact looks at victories in the struggle to bring humanity to the world's largest prison industrial complex. It's been a long time coming. But in 2013, we saw significant changes in the U.S. criminal justice system. And here in Oregon in 2013, changes to the criminal justice system came with the passage of House Bill 3194, the first major prison reform bill in decades. House Bill 3194 stopped prison growth and will reinvest these saved dollars in community treatment programs, reentry support, victim services, and other crime prevention programs. But while House Bill 3194 was a step in the right direction, this bill was, unfortunately, more about money than justice. Some feel it was a missed opportunity to change Oregon's severe and unjust mandatory minimum sentencing law, Measure 11. And now, KPFA Berkeley's Making Contact, 2013. Was this the year the criminal justice system changed?
Today, a vicious cycle of poverty, criminality, and incarceration traps too many Americans